All right, people, let's stand for our final hymn prior to this morning's sermon. Let's open up to hymn number 10, Leaning. That's what we need to be doing. And we're going to sing all three of hymn 10.
What a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarms. We're leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms.
Amen.
Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning. On the everlasting arms.
Woo! Yes, we are. Please be seated, people. Good singing this morning. Great testimonies. Boy, I tell you, the Lord is answering our prayers this week, particularly that first one about soul winning. Your folks are busy. Busy for the Lord. Well, let's grab our Bibles at this time and open up to the book of Genesis this morning. Genesis chapter 18. In Genesis chapter 18, as I was reading yesterday, and the Lord struck me with an incredible passage of Scripture that is absolutely applicable to the world today that we live in. I'm so glad the Word of God is alive and powerful. Remain seated as we read this morning, because I got a few verses to cover here. And I want to start by saying this. You are incredibly valuable. You are. You're real important to God. Amen? This world does not consider you to be valuable at all or worth anything, because you preach Jesus Christ. But you are. And I want to get you to see how important your role is this morning in this world and in your life. Look with me in Genesis chapter 18. We read, "And the Lord appeared unto him," Abraham, "in the plains of Mamre. And he sat in the tent during the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him." Now verse 1 says the Lord appeared, and verse 2 says three men. Which is it? It's both. Both. This is a picture of the Trinity. It is not the Trinity. It is the second person of the Godhead plus two angels. But it is a portrait of the triune Godhead that we worship. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. And he said, "My Lord," capital L, "if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Yet let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree." And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do, as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd, and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hastened to dress it. And he took butter, and milk, and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Now, he goes on in these verses that Abraham knows they're here on business. Abraham knows they've got something very important to inform him of. And he goes down here and talks about how Sarah laughed when God promised she'd have a baby in old age, but it was true. Picking up the text in verse 16, and the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Now get the picture here. The two angels that accompany the second person turn their faces toward Sodom. They're on a mission from God. And the Lord stands yet before Abraham, 23. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Lord, will you destroy the righteous along with the wicked? Question. 24. Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure, there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again, and said, peradventure, there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure, there shall be 30 found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. Beloved, I want to speak to you this morning a message I've entitled, The Incredible Value of the Righteous. The Incredible Value of the Righteous. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for this passage of Scripture. And Lord, how we thank you that you said if you found a certain number of righteous men in that city, you would not destroy it. And Lord, I know because the Bible says that if there were 10 found, Sodom and Gomorrah would be standing today. There would be no Dead Sea. Lord, I thank you today for the incredible value of the righteous. And Lord, I thank you for these precious souls at KJV Bible Baptist Church that seek thy face and seek to be righteous before thee, O God. And I thank you, Lord, that America is standing today because of the righteous within the land. But O Lord, the righteous are diminishing before our eyes. Lord, if there was a time and a need and a call to fasting and praying and seeking the face of the Lord for America, it's today. Oh Lord, we feel the urgency of the hour. We see the wickedness coming out of Washington, D.C. Lord, we see the ungodly and wicked laws of man being passed. And we thank you for our dear sister down south that said, I will not issue homosexual licenses to marriage. We thank you for her, Lord, for her stand for righteousness. Lord, I pray that through the preaching of this message this morning, each one of us would see our incredible value as righteous ones in this lost and dying world, that we would see how needed we are and how important our place that you put us in is today. Oh Lord, I thank you, dear Lord, that there are still righteous men and women and boys and girls in America that love Jesus Christ and stand for what is right. Lord, speak to our hearts by your Holy Spirit in this message. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. The people said, Amen. Amen. Beloved, this morning as I pondered and considered this incredible passage, it struck me like never before that God is not looking at the lost and the wicked and the evil of America this morning. He's looking at the righteous. And he's saying, if I can find enough righteous people, I'll let that nation stand for a while yet. Amen? Beloved, he said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and seek my face and pray, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. We want our land to be healed spiritually. Amen, beloved? We want America to be great again. We want to be the missions capital of the world. We want to be the gospel lighthouse of planet Earth again. How dark it's grown on our shores. And the question I believe that we must ask today is just exactly who these that God Almighty describes as the righteous are. And what is it about them that causes him to stay his wrath? Who are they? And what is it about them that stays his wrath? Beloved, I believe the Bible has the answer to these two questions. First, who are they that are called the righteous here? First, they are all those who believe what God says. Amen? The righteous are those who believe what God says. Go to Genesis 15. Hold your place. We're coming back. In Genesis 15, look at verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. That's enough for me, man. I don't need nothing else. Amen? You see that in verse 1? God says, don't you fear. I'm with you. I'm your reward and I'm your shield. As long as God is your shield, you will not fall. 2, and Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he what? Believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for what? Righteous. He believed what God said, and God counted him righteous. Who are the righteous? They are all those who believe what God says. Oh, beloved, I'm so glad you're in the house of God this morning, and that you believe what this book says, and you have banked your immortal soul upon what it says. I'm so glad you're not taking a backward step. I'm so glad you're not throwing in the towel. You're not quitting on God, because you're righteous, and you believe what he says in his word. I'm so thankful for that this morning. In chapter 7 of Genesis, look at it, a man named Noah. Look at it. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thine house into the ark. For thee have I seen what? Righteous before me in this evil generation. Folks, you know what? I want to tell you something. You're in the ark. You're in Christ. Amen?
You are Antioch, and God sees you as righteous because of the doctrine of imputation. You have received the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Why? Because you believe what he says. You believe what he says. And you have been made righteous by another. But something else. Who are these that are the righteous? They are, secondly, they are all those who call upon God in prayer. Amen? You know that most people don't pray. But you know God. And the righteous are those who call upon him in prayer. Look at chapter 12. In chapter 12, look at verse 7. Genesis 12, 7. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. Wow. What did Abraham do? He called upon the name of the Lord in prayer. You know who the righteous are? They're those who pray and fast and seek God's face and know he's real and know that my labor is not in vain in the Lord. They're the righteous. They call upon God in prayer. Look at chapter 13 of Genesis, verse 3. And he, Abraham, went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Here he is again. I'm sorry, boys. I'm busy. I'm seeking God. Don't disturb me. Do not disturb me. Amen. He's calling on God in prayer. And it works. Amen. James chapter 5, verse 13. For the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that our prayers accomplish much? Why? Because of the one we call upon. Who are the righteous? They are those who believe what God says. They are those who call upon God in prayer. Thirdly, they are all those who live their lives in holiness. Amen? Look in, oh, this is a forgotten doctrine today, Kyle. Look in Ephesians chapter 4. Man alive. You won't hear preaching on holiness no more. Oh, it's, you know, if it feels good, do it. And, you know, eat, drink, and be merry. We're under grace. Ephesians chapter 4. You can live any old way you like. You'll still go to heaven. Send me $1,000 seed money. And look at chapter 4, verse 23. And have you said yours in the Benny? No, no. In verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Notice the coupling here in verse 24. Righteousness is coupled with what?
Holiness.
He's still holy, folks. He hasn't changed his mind about traditional marriage. He hasn't changed his mind about letting babies live. He hasn't changed his mind about the sanctity of life. Amen? Why? Because he's a holy God. Chapter 5 of Ephesians. Look at verse 27 or 26. That Jesus, might sanctify and cleanse it, the church, with the washing of water by the word. Why? That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. He's going to make sure that when we are presented in glory to him as his bride, we're going to be perfectly holy. I didn't say sinless right now. We're not sinless because we have a sin nature. But we need to be sanctified, folks. Look at chapter 1 of Ephesians. In chapter 1, look at this. Your purpose, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord, Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Love. If you love him, Jesus said, keep my commandments. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, down around verse 17, be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Amen. It's in the Old Testament and it's in the New Testament. He hasn't changed his mind. You know, he's still a holy God, and he expects us to live in holiness. Fourthly, who are these that are righteous in Genesis 18? Fourthly, they are all those who enter into covenant with God by a blood sacrifice. Amen? They are all those who enter into covenant with God through a blood sacrifice. You know you can't come to God any old way you choose. You can't. You can't use any name for God that you choose. You can't. You can't reach God any old way you choose. There's only one way. It's through a blood sacrifice. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 11. Abraham entered into covenant with God through a blood sacrifice. Read chapter 13 sometime of Genesis and you'll see it. A blood sacrifice where the Lord himself passed through the parts. And he declared, this is the covenant that I've made with thee. In Hebrews 11, you need a blood covenant with God in order to be partners with God. Look at chapter 11, verse 3. Through faith, this is the hall of faith. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was what? There it is. You want to be righteous? You need a blood sacrifice. And not the one that Abel offered. And not the one that Moses offered. Not the one that the high priest offered. You need the blood sacrifice. The final sacrifice for sin forever. He says, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he being dead yet speaketh, he offered a blood sacrifice. Why? Because his daddy Adam told him God needs blood. A blood sacrifice if you want to enter covenant and communion with him. And the only blood sacrifice available today is one, the sacrifice of the cross. You know the cross was an altar? It was an altar on which the second person of the Godhead made a blood sacrifice. Amen? And through that blood sacrifice, we enter into everlasting covenant with God. We become his, and he becomes ours. I'm so thankful for that. Oh, people think that they can come to God in any old fashion. People think that their good deeds will outweigh their bad deeds, and they're so sorely wrong. Without the blood atonement, there is no forgiveness of sins. But something else, who are these that are called righteous in Genesis 18? They are all those who receive the anointing of God's Holy Spirit. Amen? Look at 1 John. First epistle of John, chapter 2. They are all those who've received the anointing of his Spirit. Do you know you can't be saved without the Holy Spirit? You know that? You have to be regenerated spiritually. Look in chapter 2 of 1 John, verse 25. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, false teachers. But the anointing... So, time up. What is the anointing, someone? What is the anointing? The what? The Holy Spirit indwelling you. That's the anointing. The anointing which ye have received of him abideth where?
In you.
In you. I'm so glad he's in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him. That when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is what?
Righteous.
Righteous. God is righteous. Holy. Ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Born of him how? By the anointing. By the Holy Spirit. Isn't that good to know that we've received the anointing of his Holy Spirit? Go to Isaiah quickly. Isaiah chapter number 10. Powerful passage here concerning this anointing. And I'm so glad that no matter what you face in this life, the anointing is able to overcome it. I didn't say you are able to overcome it. Look at it. In chapter 10 of Isaiah, don't miss this. Look at verse 27. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden, that's speaking of the devil, technically this is an Antichrist passage. His burden shall be taken up from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of what?
The anointing.
Listen to me. The anointing of God's Holy Spirit breaks every yoke of bondage. It frees us from sin. It frees us from the world. It frees us from the devil. Why? Because of the power of the anointing. The anointing which ye have received abideth in you, and is truth, and is no lie. Wow. Who are the righteous? All those who've received the anointing of God's Spirit. Who are the righteous? Sixthly, they are all those who suffer for living righteously. Go with me to 1 Peter. Who are the righteous? All those who suffer for living righteously. In 1 Peter, look with me in chapter number 3. In 1 Peter chapter 3, what is the epistle of 1 Peter all about, somebody? Then we know the second epistle is all about second advent. But the first epistle is all about what?
Suffering.
That's right. That's right, sister. The sufferings of the Christian. Watch it. In chapter 3, verse 12, we read, "For the eyes of the Lord are over who?" Ooh! Hey, thank you, Holy Spirit. Yeah. I didn't see that in preparation, but I see it now. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His eye is on you. Don't worry. He's got it under control. And his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer, for what? Righteousness' sake. Happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and with fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Isn't that something? You suffer. You won't hear this at the health, wealth, and prosperity mega churches because they don't preach a true gospel. Because the true gospel and the true Christian life involves some suffering. Why? For righteousness' sake. You're living righteous before a dirty, filthy world and they don't like it. They don't like it. You rub them the wrong way. You don't even have to open your mouth. It's the way you act, Matt, you know. Seven, who are they that are the righteous in Genesis 18? They are all those who will remain righteous throughout all eternity. They will remain righteous throughout all of eternity. Go to Revelation. The last page, just go to the last page of your Bible. You'll be there. Chapter 22. How many verses in chapter 22? 21. Add them up. 22. 2, 2, 2, and 1 is 7. God's number of perfection. Look at it. In chapter 22, verse 10. Who are the righteous? All those who will be forever righteous. Watch. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Church, the time is at hand. Hello. Couple of gals excited in the back row. Because the time is at hand. I can't say it any louder. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is what?
Righteous.
Let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still throughout all of eternity. I tell you something, we got something to shout about this morning, church. Because if you don't have anything else to rejoice about this morning, think about this. You are going to be an eternal trophy of his grace. That means forever and ever, you will bring glory to the Son of God before the universe. Look what I did, Father, for for this one. Look what I did for that one. Wow. You know, these guys have bowlers. They got all bowling trophies on the chandelier, on the shelf, you know. All these trophies. God's got trophies. They're you and me. You and me. The righteous. The righteous. Who are these in Genesis 18 that God says, I'll spare Sodom and Gomorrah if I find 10 of them? He couldn't find 10. He found 8. Lot, his wife, his 3 sons, and I'm sorry, 3 daughters, and their 3 husbands. 8. And not all of them were saved. Remember Lot's wife? Wow. He couldn't find 10. And they estimate over 1 million people were in Sodom when it burned. Folks, it's an historical event. It's not a fable. This is serious business this morning. And I want you to see the incredible value of your life. You're so important to God. I'm so glad I can stand at this pulpit and tell you that you are so important to Him. You are so valuable to Him. I don't care about the President of the United States or this ambassador and that high-ranking official. You're more important. You're more important because they're not saved. They're not righteous. You are. God is not looking at them. He's looking at you and me. And He says, if I can only find enough righteous ones in America, I will spare the nation. Do you believe it, church? We need souls for the kingdom. Righteous souls where God will look down and say, ah, now I see enough that I'll spare them a little further, a little more time. You know why I believe America is still standing? We haven't been destroyed yet because of you and me. It's because of you and you and you and you. Righteous souls in America. That's why. You know what? Sometimes my sister was saying, you know, it's this news. Oh, man, it's just vexatious. Yeah, it's vexatious. And she says, yeah. She says, Bob, we need to focus on the good things. Focus on what Jesus is doing. Focus on the coming of the Lord. And I said, yeah, you're right, Elle. Go, go, girl. She's absolutely right. She's absolutely right. Focus on the righteous. Because if you look at the world, you'll get pretty miserable and depressed. Beloved, we need to realize that the incredible value of the righteous is on such a scale, such a magnitude of value to God. It's valuable to God. This is the point this morning. Now, in Revelation 22, verse 11, it says, Jesus said, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father forever and ever. Amen? That is so good today. I am so thankful that if there will be enough righteous souls in America, God will spare us. I'm telling you today, according to the scripture, He'll spare us. But folks, we're on a dividing line that is so tight right now, we need to win every soul we can. We need to off-balance the wicked by more souls for righteousness. 53 years ago, let me give you this in closing. 53 years ago, Port Royal in Jamaica was labeled the richest and wickedest city in the world. It had become a natural rendezvous for many sea travelers and thrill seekers. Liquor, gambling, prostitution, drugs, and every vice thrived in Port Royal in greater extravagance than anywhere else in the world. Perpetual brawls raged in the streets. The blood of murdered victims flowed endlessly. Rape, theft, looting. Hey, does this sound like any place you know of? No. Yeah! Just turn on CNN. Yeah. Listen, rape, theft, and looting were commonplace. But on June the 7th, 1962, 53 years ago, 2 massive earthquakes struck the island, Port Royal, Jamaica. With the second measuring 7.4 on the Richter scale, the sea was driven back out half a mile. You know what that means, don't you? Coming back. Listen, the city itself was split open in a dozen places, and into the crevices toppled hundreds of screaming men, women, and children. Choking sulfur fumes sifted through openings in the earth, killing dozens more. Then,
as the sea returned, a tsunami measuring 60 feet tall swept into Port Royal, smashing ships and washing buildings from their foundations. Suddenly, and with a sudden roar, the whole city slipped slowly into the sea, with the most of its population. To this very day, sightseers can go down to the site and look down through several fathoms of crystal clear water and actually see some of the coral-crusted remains of Port Royal, the wickedest city in the world. Beloved, my point is this. I wonder how many righteous souls it would have taken for God Almighty to spare the inhabitants of Port Royal. There wasn't enough. There wasn't enough. And the earthquakes hit, and they all died. Folks, here I'm telling you the truth. America is going to go under if we don't get enough righteous souls saved. Ones who love Jesus Christ and pray for this nation. Why did I call a 7-day fast this week? Fasting and praying and seeking God's face. Because I know that we're right on the brink of Sodom and Gomorrah. Folks, our government passed legalized homosexuality nationwide last month. That is a final straw that broke the camel's back. I'm telling you right now, we need to seek him like we've never sought him before. Oh, the incredible value of the righteous. Father in heaven, how I thank you this morning for the message from Genesis 18. Lord, how I thank you that it's still true today that if there were 10 righteous souls in Sodom and Gomorrah, you would have spared it for those 10. And it's still true today that if there are enough righteous souls in America, you'll spare us too. Lord, we don't want to see this nation go down the drain. We don't want to see the greatest missionary nation there's ever been in world history go down the drain because of ungodliness and unrighteousness. Lord, our hearts break today for our fellow Americans. Lord, the last 8-7 years has been horrific. Lord, we have seen ungodly laws passed like we've never dreamt we'd see. And oh God, all coming to pass in our generation. And Lord, all of the signs are in place for impending doom and the wrath of God to fall upon not only America, but upon this wicked world. Oh Lord, I believe if there are enough righteous souls worldwide, you might spare the world for a time, for a season. Only you know the numbers, Lord. But we pray this morning that we'd get enough folks saved that America would be spared a little space further. And Lord, we thank you that our hearts desire righteousness. Lord, we desire to bring lost souls to a state of righteousness in Jesus Christ. I thank you for this kind of a church, Lord. These people that love Jesus Christ supremely. And nothing else really matters in the scope of eternity. We thank you for the message in Jesus Christ's name. The people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals at this time. And we will have a time of invitation. The altar is open. You may feel led to just come and pray for some poor lost soul that you're trying to reach for Jesus Christ. And whatever the need might be, the altar is open. Let's open up to hymn 12. Hymn 12, because this is what we need. Had such a sweet time sitting before the Lord's presence yesterday. And we need more of that. In hymn 12, we're going to sing the first and the second.
Sweet Lord.
Yes.
Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from the world of care and bids me at my Father's throne. Make all my wants and wishes known in seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found.
Thank you, beloved, for being in God's house this morning. Let's close with a word of prayer. And don't forget, tonight at 6 p.m., we've got a missionary coming. And come hungry. We're going to have food. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for a great service. Awesome testimonies, Lord. Your moving of your Holy Spirit in our midst. We thank you for that, Lord. Oh, it's so good to know the truth and to know that we've been made righteous by the imputation of Jesus Christ's righteousness. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your anointing power and indwelling presence, sanctifying us, setting us apart for holy use. Oh, what a privilege. Lord, there's no life like the Christian life, the life of righteousness. Such a peace and joy and comfort and security comes from it. We're so grateful for it this morning. But Lord, our hearts are burdened. And once again, we pray that you'd extend mercy to this great nation, America. Father, we pray that you might find enough righteous souls in America to spare her. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord, folks.